Welcome back to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast, where we dive into the intersection of clean energy, community power, and environmental justice across the Peach State. In this episode, we're sitting down with the leaders from Flint Energy's EMC, a member-owned electric cooperative serving Central and South Georgia. We're talking about the unique role EMCs play in Georgia's energy future, how local communities can shape the grid, and what a just, renewable transition looks like for rural areas. Let's get into it.
I am your host, Deborah Opie, campaign manager with Georgia Conservation Voters Education Fund. Joining us today are two incredible guests from Flint Energies, Tracy Lord, member advocacy coordinator, and Marion McLemore, vice president of cooperative communications. They both play key roles in connecting member owners with the co-op, making sure the voices are heard and building more transparent and responsive relationships between the utility and the community it serves. Tracy, Marion, welcome to the show. I will start with Tracy. Tell us a little about yourself and how you came to work with Flint Energies.
Okay, thank you for having me. First of all, I appreciate the invite. Like she said, my name is Tracy Lord. I came to work here 4 years ago. So how I came to work at Flint was as a member services representative, which they now call member solutions representatives. And then I started in executive services, and now I'm as the member advocacy coordinator. I've lived in Warner Robins all my life. We live in Byron right now, but I've been from the community of Warner Robins almost all my life. And my husband retired from the Warner Robins Fire Department here, and my family has grown here and still all lives in the vicinity.
I think that's great. Thank you. Marion, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work with Flint Energies.
Sure. I'm Marion McLemore, Vice President of Cooperative Communications. I actually have been here at Flint 20 years. I came as the manager of public relations 20 years ago, and about 8 years now, I was promoted to vice president of cooperative communications. Live here in the community. My husband is born and raised in Warner Robins, and so we have, you know, all of our family located here, but I moved here for the job.
Okay, amazing. So either one of you can address this question. Can you explain what an electric membership cooperative is for those who may not be familiar?
Of course. An electric membership corporation is an electric utility that is owned by the customers it serves. It's a little different than the IOUs, the investor-owned utilities, that are more commonly known. Investor-owned utilities are owned by stakeholders, investors, people usually that don't actually live in the territory that that utility serves. Whereas an electric membership corporation, actually the employees, everybody lives and works within that service territory and serves the members, you know, because they're their neighbors.
I love that. I think that's very special. So what does member engagement look like at Flint Energies, and how has that engagement evolved over time?
Well, I'll take that question. Member engagement is a high priority here at Flint Energies, because when Flint Energies was created as an electric membership corporation, it was by farmers, members who needed that necessity, needed electricity, and they banded together to create Flint Energies. And so we have always been, we were created by members, so therefore we serve our members. They are our highest priority. Our member engagement activities are, the list is long. We do so much for our members. We do events called Sudden Impacts. We have Member Mondays, We have, our social media is a way for our members to engage with us. We have member surveys. We do a lot of volunteerism within our communities and with our members. We educate our members. We do so many things. I wanted to touch on sudden impact events. That's something that sort of came about as sort of like the flash mob, activities you would see on social media where something would happen all of a sudden and it would be captured on social media. Well, our sudden impact events kind of takes a bit of that information, that thought process, and we create sudden events that benefit our members. And usually we do that through donation drives or even giveaway events, and they always are there to benefit our members in some way, shape, or form. Whether, and it's not necessarily all of our members, but it could be a special group of our members, like veterans or widows or senior citizens, could be spouses of deployed military members. It could be, we narrow it down to so many different groups, and we try to touch all these groups over the course of time. And we've had about 150 of these sudden impact events since we started them in 2015. We have about 12 or so a year, and our members just absolutely love them. And just two quick examples of sudden events we've done in the past. One we did a couple of years ago where we gave out a 4-quart box of peaches, fresh peaches, fresh out of the orchard at Lane Southern Orchards in our territory. And we ended up giving out 648 boxes of peaches at one event. It was very well received. Our members absolutely loved it. Another one, we actually hosted a movie in a park with one of our local law enforcement agencies. And, we really anticipated only a couple of hundred of our members to show up, and ended up over 1,200 members showed up to the movie in the park event. And so these are just some of the member engagement things that we do where we can show that we love our members.
It is such a good opportunity for us to get out and work with our members and see those members and interact with them. And it's good for them to see that there's so much participation from the co-op that wants to come out and serve.
I think that's great. And I'm glad you jumped in, Tracy, because I wanted to ask you, as a member advocacy coordinator, what does your job look like day to day?
My job day to day is serving our members, and it's members that may for the first time have gotten into maybe a bad spot, and they just need a little encouragement. They just need a little help. And I am able to work with some wonderful agencies, some wonderful organizations and churches and people that I can make contact with that are willing to help out our members. And it is just so rewarding because I'm able to speak with these members and, tell them that we care about them. We're not here to just shut them down or turn them off. We're here to see if we can come alongside of them and give them some help. And the agencies that I work with are just phenomenal. And on a day-to-day basis, I get to work with some very nice people. So basically, what I do is I take pledges from the agencies on our members who may have had an appointment with them or may have shown up at their organization for help. And I'm able to give them information and tell them where else they might go or what other things, avenues that they can turn to for help. And it's a very rewarding job. And we help a lot of members that way through working with the agencies. And
I love that. So, what does your follow-up process look like? For instance, you may have member owners who need more than just aid for a month, but they need additional support over a longer period. What does that, how does that look?
Well, I can give you a for instance, of course, I'm not going to bring names into it or anything like that, but I have had some members that some of my elderly members, they're not able to stay on a phone the period of time that it takes for them to get through to the agency for the appointments. The appointments are limited and there are a lot of people that need the assistance. So I've had them go to local organizations to help for the interim. And then several of them I have asked, look, if you can't do this, come up here, come up to Flint, meet with me, bring your computer, bring your phone, let me try to assist you in getting through to the agency or with the paperwork that it might take, help you through it, help you see, the process. And that's been very effective. Or I've reached out into the communities. I've had one recently that she's from a community that's very rural. The churches are not, they don't have the monetary funds some of your bigger cities may have. So it's hard to find those funds. And some of the rural areas don't get as many appointments with the government agencies as some of the bigger communities do. And so what I've done is I've reached out to churches, I've reached out to businessmen, I've reached out to the senior citizen centers, I've reached out to local organizations, and I just keep making calls and giving them also information to make calls until we find the assistance that they need.
I think that's great, and that is so necessary. I want to ask about the lack of LIHEAP moving forward. And I don't know how many of your member owners are even qualified for LIHEAP, but we know that it may not exist. Have you guys thought about a plan for that, or what can your members do who, the ones who were receiving LIHEAP but who qualify but no longer have access to it?
Some of the additional things we do, and I'm going to let Marion speak to this too, because I know she's real informed on it. But some of the additional things we do with our members is let me give you an example. I had an older member. Back in the day, we could write a check and it wouldn't post for against our checking account for weeks. So he was still of that mindset. I can write a check and it'll get me through to the next several weeks when it doesn't anymore. Everybody knows it's an instant thing now. So I educated and I said, okay, now we can't write checks anymore like that. That just causes you more trouble with more fees and you get more backed up. So let's not do that anymore. Let's take this approach. I'm not a financial advisor by any means, but we can kind of get them to see how things are moving these days and educate them on let's take our check. We get it at the beginning of the month. Let's see if we can make your payment due at the beginning of the month instead of in the middle of the month. Let's see if we can break your check up and you can pay part of it here and part of it there. I think education is key, and that's where Marianne and her department come in, and I'll let her speak to some of the things that we can educate.
Of course, yes, education is key. But we, as a co-op who are owned by our members, we have to think, like the member. Some of us, even the employees, are members. So we're not only receiving service, we're also giving it. So we have to look at both sides, and we got to do what's best for our members. So this, anything like the LIHEAP funds running out, we are already having conversations on how do we address that. We don't necessarily have the answers, perhaps, at this moment, but we will find an answer. But we do have some things that can help in the interim. Changing due dates for those bills to maybe sh shifting them from the post pay, which is your typical way of paying an electric bill after you use that electricity, to our pay your way program, which you pay as you go. And that has a debt management aspect to it, where if someone were falling on hard times, but they know they'll be able to catch up at some point, we can do a debt management where just a small portion of their, payment as they pay as they go goes towards that debt, but they still get to keep the lights on.
Is this education like a set program where people come to one location, maybe in person, and you educate them, or is it on a need basis or per request?
Education is a round the clock type scenario. We educate on a daily basis. We are educating through our magazine, our Georgia Magazine pages. That's our monthly publication that goes to every member's homes. There is education pieces in there every month on how to save energy or save money on your electric bill. To our social media channels, we have posts on a daily basis, sometimes even more than once on a daily basis, of tips about how to save energy, electric safety, what program or service we offer to help them. We're constantly educating our members through a variety of ways.
And just like Marion was talking about with us being out in the community, we're always doing local festivals. We'll have a booth, and one of the festivals, you met Mr. Rod Green that day. He was out with an EV experiment for the kids to do and how solar drives that. And he educates on all of our energy usage factors. And we go to all kinds of events that the hospital has, the communities have. And I'm able to go out to those too, just like we were at your event, and educate those members and talk to the members and see the kids and hand out our Flint swag. And we really enjoy getting out in the community and doing that.
It sounds as if Flint Energy has really taken member owner engagement seriously, and the members seem to be able to benefit from the work that you all are doing. So I'm going to shift a little bit and talk about feedback and how we incorporate it, right? So how do you
Yes.
gather feedback from your members, and then how do you take that feedback and incorporate it into decision making?
Well, I'll take that question. We gather feedback from our members, owners, through a variety of ways. We most recently just did a all-member survey where we sent a survey out to all of our members, which gave us tons of feedback, and that will be instrumental in helping us develop newer, developing our programs and services. It'll help evolve maybe existing programs and services that we have, or it may create some new programs and services we don't even currently have, but they're all to better address our members' needs and concerns. We continually gather feedback through even member comments on our social media channels. We get those quite frequently, but we'll usually take those. One of the good things is when we do have a comment and we can address that member, take it offline, we will call that member and address that one-on-one, their concerns, and see how we can rectify the situation. Or either educate them if it's an education moment. But also, we take any interactions that our employees have with members. Everybody gathers information and it comes back usually to this department, the Cooperative Communications Department or the Member Solutions Department. And we find a way to go ahead and act on that feedback as quickly as possible to satisfy our members and hopefully exceed their expectations.
I love the continuous improvement model. If you can share what one suggestion or type of feedback really surprised the EMC, maybe you all hadn't thought about from the customer feedback.
And really just looking at payment options. That's always seems to be a challenge. There are so many of our members or just people today, some don't have checking accounts. They are a cash only type person. So we have to offer other options. And so one of the ways that we did this, and this was several years ago, but we started installing kiosk. We have kiosk in our lobbies. We have kiosk at convenience stores and grocery stores, places where our members actually go to outside of, coming directly to Flint to pay their bill. But being where they are and giving them the ability to pay their Flint bill using cash through an automated system. It's almost like a reverse ATM. They actually, put the money in to pay their bill. And that was one that comes to mind because a lot of folks just don't go to banks. They don't use banks. They have their cash. They get their paycheck cashed. They go to the grocery store. They go to the convenience store, get what they need. But maybe they don't necessarily want to go all the way, drive all the way across town to pay their Flint bill when they can do it right there locally in their community or their neighborhood.
Another thing that we were having trouble with is the post office, which I believe a lot of businesses have been having trouble with their mail getting where it needs to go on time. And so we were able to, if a member came in upset because they got a late fee because they mailed their check in plenty of time, but the mail didn't get here in plenty of time, then we were able to work with them and say, hey, did you know that we have this option to pay and this option to pay? And what's a better way for you? Or just say, we understand, we mail things too and they don't get there on time. Let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion. Maybe we need to remove that late payment. That's also a good way that we've been able to come alongside them with something that's happened that's out of our control.
Ladies, you guys have been wonderful. Tracy, Marion, thank you so much for joining us today and for the important work that you do every day to connect, support, and uplift Flint Energy member owners. Listen, your insight has given our audience a deeper understanding of how electric membership cooperatives work and why community engagement is so essential to shaping a more equitable and accountable energy future. Here at Georgia Conservation Voters Education Fund, we look forward to continuing this partnership and working together to empower member owners with the tools, the knowledge, and the voice they need to lead and drive in their communities. We'll see you next time on the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. Thank you, ladies.